Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson, as you have heard read from the 14th chapter of St. Luke. And our theme this morning, live free or die. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, those words may sound familiar to you. Live free or die. These words are the state motto of the state of New Hampshire. One of the most beloved and known state mottos of the 50 states. There's also a patriot by the name of Patrick Henry, who at the Virginia Convention debating the Stamp Act of 1765 said these words, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I do not want course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." There were also other patriots willing to sacrifice their lives so that their children could live in freedom. Live free or die. Are you willing, dear ones? Are you willing to do the same? To sacrifice all, even your very life? Are you willing to live free or die spiritually? Are you willing to follow Jesus, even if it means dying physically, so that you may live spiritually forever and ever? Live free forever. Our text this morning is a clear picture of what discipleship is. This morning with the children who were here at Sunday school, we talked briefly about discipleship and what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner, and a true disciple of Jesus will hear the call of Christ and follow. A true disciple will also understand the cost of following Christ. And lastly, a true disciple will always follow the way. So those are the three points we'll talk about briefly this morning. The call to discipleship, the cost of discipleship, and the way of discipleship. Resolute zeal when it comes to call, or resolute ignorance. That's the way of the Christian today. Either the Christian follows Jesus faithfully, or they attempt to make themselves acceptable to Jesus, thinking that they can be acceptable to the Holy One, to the holy and just God. Those who attempt to justify themselves, they really never know if they've really ever done enough to ever really be justified before a holy and just God. Resolute zeal or resolute ignorance. As you have read the pastoral letter in your bulletin this morning, you understand now what it means, truly means, to be a Christian. Being a Christian is directly reflected in how you hear and receive His call. Either you hear His call and follow Him, even into death, live free or die. As for me, give me liberty, freedom, or give me death. Or you don't. Being a Christian isn't just a title. It's actually a calling, as we see, and as you know, millions, millions, and millions may say that they are Christians, yet sinners want to be not in Jesus' image, as you've just sung in the sermon hymn, but rather they want Jesus to be in their image. The sinner wants Jesus to be in man's image. We want Him to be available to us when we need Him. Other than that, Jesus can stay in the background. We'll call Him up when we need Him. My grandfather had a little plaque in his car that I really disliked. It said, Jesus is my co-pilot. That's actually wrong. Jesus is never a co-pilot. Jesus is the Lord, the God. If he's anything, he is the pilot, the only pilot that counts. After all, his teachings, his words, well, to the one who wants to use Jesus for their own purpose, all that he teaches in his word and all that he says in his word, you know, they really don't fit into how I think Jesus is. And they really don't fit into how my life, the way I want to live my life. You see, I have a problem and I don't want to admit my problem. Therefore, I'll try to mask it. I'll try to show people that I'm a pretty good person. I'll make my appearances in church every once in a while. We'll talk more about that in a second. But here's the problem. Here's the same problem that they have, the same problem that each and every one of you have, and the same problem that I have and Hayden has. It's sin. Outright sin. Sin warps our understanding of faith in God. Sin focuses us on me, myself, and I, rather than Jesus. Sin perverts everything that is good which God gives us, his sacraments, his word. Sin wants to place Jesus below man. Sin is a cancer, dear ones. It's a cancer that consumes us. It's a cancer that wants to destroy us, to destroy our fellowship with the holy and just and true God. But then, God sent his Son at just the right time. Paul's words in his second letter to the Corinthians. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Jesus, and only Jesus, carried your sins and my sins. Jesus and only Jesus took on your guilt and my guilt. Jesus and only Jesus died your death and my death upon his bloody cross. There is no other man who has done this for you, and there is no other person who can do it for you, and you and I cannot do it. In his death, he defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil. For you, not for himself, but for you. By his sacrifice upon the cross, he reconciled you and me and all who truly believe that he is the Savior to our Father in heaven. You are no longer a sinner, a poor, rotten sinner who deserves hell. And the same is true this morning with Abigail Ann. Here at that font, she has now been accepted, reconciled to God. She has been given newness of life. Her sin has been washed away. She is God's dear child, and nothing can remove that. That's why it's so important that mother and father and sponsors and grandparents, that they remind her of her baptism, that as she grows in the faith, that she too becomes a disciple, as she studies the word, comes to Sunday school, stands here eventually and confesses her faith with her own tongue that Jesus is her Lord, and becomes a faithful member of this congregation, receiving his body and blood for the forgiveness of her sins. That's a true disciple, a 100% true Christian. Therefore, Jesus calls. He called Abby this morning, and he calls you to follow him, to be his disciple. Yet, following Jesus, dear ones, comes with a very high cost. The cost is this. Jesus must be first in your life. You heard Jesus' words this morning from the gospel lesson. You can read it for yourself. They are harsh words anyway. They sound harsh, but they're the truth. The cost of discipleship is following Jesus at all cost. There was a famous football player from the team that I love. His name is Gale Sayers. Some of you may remember him. Sayers was famous for a little saying that he would tell everyone. He would have a habit of telling them, "I am third." What does that mean? Sayers would tell you, God is always first in his life, then his family, and then I am third. To be your Lord's disciple means to follow him without reservation, to put no one above God, to put not even your family above God, or especially yourself above God. You see, being a disciple of Jesus Christ comes with a high cost. To follow your Lord means you follow him without reservation. The faith of his disciple is this: I fully accept all of his teachings, and I fully accept that he is my Savior without reservation. The cost of faith, Jesus, Jesus and only Jesus, Jesus first today, tomorrow, and always. You see, the cost of the discipleship is not cheap. It comes with a very high price, and that price, dear ones, is total 100% commitment. You would never commit yourselves, farmers, to plant substandard seeds, would you? If you did, you would be a fool. You would never commit yourself to purchase or buy a sick Holstein. If you did, you would be a fool. You would never commit yourselves to a losing team. Woody Hayes would never accept any player who would never give his 100%. A 50% player is unheard of. A 50% player is a fool. Jesus wants your all. He wants your 100%. The children heard it this morning. There's no such thing as a 50% Christian, a 75% Christian, or a 99.99999. You get the point. It's 100% or not at all. Once you're committed to the Lord, it means picking up your cross, and following him all the way. No exceptions, no excuses. Following him every day, all the way, each day. And since we are to follow him, there is a way that we are to do this. The way of discipleship is Jesus. Jesus is the way, and he is always first. At George Washington's funeral, the man who gave his eulogy said these words: "He was first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen." At your baptism, and this morning at Abby's baptism, those words about Washington become mute and unimportant. These are secular words, and they have no bearing on us whatsoever, especially eternally. They're unimportant because now at your baptism, it is Jesus who is first in your mind, first in your soul, first in the hearts of his brothers and sisters. It's Jesus always, each day and always. For he is the way. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only way that you can be saved. Therefore, following Jesus, walking in his way, means, yes, total commitment, 100%. Luke tells us, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Luke writing the very words of Jesus. You have it right here on your bulletin. It's right here. You also see the words from verse 27. These words, my friends, are meant for you. You heard the words from Deuteronomy, God's words to his children Israel. These words are for God's children today, the new Israel, his church. And these words, my friends, are words of eternal life. You see, a Christian is a Christian. There is no halfway. There is no three-quarter way. There is no one quarter way. There is no such thing as an Easter Christian. There is no such thing as a Christmas Christian. I know we're in the habit of saying that. But you see, they aren't really Christians. Oh, they may think they're Christians because they're Christians for their own convenience. They make their appearance at holidays, thinking that by being in church on these special days, they can somehow appease God. That's not being a Christian. A Christian is one who follows Jesus 100% of the time, not 2% out of the season, out of the church year. Therefore, since they're not a Christian, then they must be something. Yes, they're a hypocrite. They're wearing the mask of a Christian, but underneath, they're actually a liar. They're lying to themselves, thinking that they can appease God, thinking that they, by making an appearance in church, will be right with God. Never mind the sacraments. Those are not important. Never mind the preached word. Never mind confession of sins. All of that's unimportant. I'll just come on certain days, and that way God will be happy with me. That's walking the razor's edge. And my friends, that's not the way of discipleship. That's a sinner. That is a sinner who is in need of repentance. And I pray that if you have members of your family who are exactly like that, that you will pray that they will repent of their sins and that they will be a 100% Christian, but they can't do it by themselves. They must submit to God, repent of their sins, and then be led by the Holy Spirit to believe that Jesus is truly their Savior, and then to commit them to being a 100% disciple of Christ. That's the way of a disciple. There in verse 27, as you see it right here, is the way of a disciple. It really doesn't need to be explained. They are true words that touch the heart. And my friends, these words, whoever does not bear his cross cannot be my disciple. Yes, you're going to be tempted to drop your cross. You're going to be tempted. You know, all this Jesus stuff, you don't need that. You can do it your own. All this cross stuff, forget about that. You can save yourself. All you have to do is this and this and this and this and this and this. And this and this and this and this is never enough. No, there's a promise. And the promise is this. Jesus tells you and me, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. As you carry your cross, your Lord is walking right there with you. He guarantees to you that he is with you, for today he's present to serve you his body and blood. Today we see his presence as he washed clean Abigail Ann and declared her his dear child. He is always present. He has promised to never leave or forsake you. So why drop your cross? You're carrying the most wonderful instrument of the whole world, the sign of peace with God, the sign of God's love for you. This is the way of a disciple. Yes, they will make fun of you. Yes, they will persecute you, and they may even chop off your head. But you should fear the one who can condemn the body and the soul into hell. But when you stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, there is no other way. No matter what they do, you are assured of heaven, and you are assured of that free gift of everlasting life. And today, dear ones, as you receive his body and blood, you are assured of the forgiveness of all your sins. That's the way of a disciple. To live free and to never die. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.